Let's read just a little bit from the book of Revelation. I don't know just exactly what we'll say tonight. Chapter 1, the book of Revelation, the first verse is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you to notice that again now. I've pointed this out a few times before. It's called here, it starts with the very first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which would shortly come to pass. And the Bible goes on here to say that he sent, signified it by his angel to his servant John. And then it says that the time is at hand. The time is at hand. I tried to emphasize this as much as I know how, that any time that the revelation of the Son of God comes forth, it is the end of the world. The time is at hand. Because what the revelation is the revealing of Christ. Or it is the coming of the Lord Jesus. It is the coming of Christ. I know that we're expecting a bodily return of the Lord Jesus, as Thessalonians tells us. And he will come. He'll descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall arise to meet him. I know that. The Bible said, console the brethren by telling them this. That is concerning the Thessalonian change. But at the same time, there is what we call the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means the coming of the Christ. The coming of the Christ. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ really is Calvary. It was there that the veil was rent in twain, and it was there that the body was separated from the spirit, and the Christ that had been within the veil of the human body of Jesus was thus revealed. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. So then we see that it was God in Jesus, and that God was the Christ, in that Jesus made in himself both Lord and Christ, that is to say, making twain or two within himself. The Bible said he made within himself twain, and in making within himself twain, then the Bible says that the temple was rent in twain. Well, that is, he made in himself two, both Lord and Christ, or twain. That is to say, he was the fleshly image as unto sin, and yet he was God within the Spirit. And God rent the veil in twain as to separate the body from the Spirit, that he might fold up the body. Paul said, the body of this death that causes me so much problem, within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So to fold up the body and to lay the body away, that the Spirit might come forth as the ark of his testament, or the revealed glory of God, as it is shown by laying the body away. That is to fold up the law and lay the law away by the body of Jesus Christ. Because the law was added because of transgression. Always remember that the law was added because of transgression. That is, if there had never been any transgression, there would have never been a law. But in that the transgression was there, though we did not know about the transgression because the law had never come to reveal it, but still we were guilty of transgression of his desire and his way of life. Ever since the fall from the garden, as in Adam all die, in Christ, from Calvary, all is made alive. So then we can tell by that the law, as Paul said, having the revelation, the law was added because of transgression. Or that is, I can say, the law was added to reveal the transgression, to my understanding, to my intelligence, to make me know what I was guilty of or what I had done. So then the law was added because of transgression. And in this, the law was, it made me to understand what I had done to sin against God. So then the law was added because of transgression. Today, because of that, the body is dead because of sin. That is to say, God had to reveal to me my wrongs, and then when He revealed them to me, I became guilty in my own thinking, or that is to say, because it was revealed to me, then in my own understanding, I got under condemnation. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. That which could have been, that which could have been life to me, became death. Because we know that the law is good. We know that the law is righteous. But we know that we are sinful, sold unto sin. And that which we would not do, as to our spirit having a desire to do the right thing, then we find because the body as to the creature had been subjected to the things of this world, as to its human desire, as to its human senses, it is dependable upon the things of the earth. Therefore, being made subject to vanity, then we find ourselves in a complex as to a situation. So then we find ourselves in a complex situation. See, it's not that I want to do the things of the world, because I have no desire for the things of the world. That is in my heart. But within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, because I am born of Adam in my first birth, as through the fall and the infiltration of the mind of Lucifer, it is within my flesh, and it's always trying to trample the mind of humanity down. Satan is always trying to conquer the human being and trying to suppress him and subject him to the ordinances of this world, or the things of this world, or to the desires of this world. Thus, if he does that, you are a bond child. You are subjected to the beggarly elements of this life. See, so we're not the bond child. We are in our first birth as to being among them, but the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So then when we are born again, then we have the mind of Christ, which is a heavenly desire. We are working for heavenly things. We are laying up treasures in heaven. We're not interested anymore in the beggarly elements of this world, so we escape the bondage of this thing that is called the world. We are freed then from the world and the things of the world. But before this, we have to remember that we are born unto death. For in Adam all die, and all are born in Adam as to their first birth. So they're born unto death. And the ultimatum of that death for the Christian is Calvary. So then we see the law came. The law came for our good. But that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. Not because it was unrighteous, but because I was unrighteous. And not having the ability to perform my inner desire in that I acknowledged the law to be true, I could not perform it because of the infiltration of the mind of Lucifer within my flesh. So then the only answer was to kill me. And so then being smitten before God, that is to say, Jesus was made my sin that I might be made His righteousness. And so then I was smitten as God smote the body of Jesus. To esteem Him in that we say that He was smitten of God that we might be loved of God. And He died out of the presence of God that we might live in the presence of God. Or that is to say, He took my sins and bore my infirmities so that I might live His righteous life in the presence of God to be the apple of His eye. So today I'm free from sin. That's why that I teach what I do as to 483 years from the prophecy of the time of Daniel in Babylon over to Calvary and the cutting off of the Messiah to make an end of sin. And then I teach from there that it is a heavenly episode and that the earthly perspective is not seen again until the final 7 years of the last week of Daniel comes in, which of course we call the tribulation period. So then it is in a heavenly perspective until the last 7 years comes in. And it's very evident that that is true, because when John looks, he sees the great multitude in heaven, that multitude of which you are composed. And then he looked into the earth at that perspective coming back in again after the tribulation, and he saw 144,000 being sealed in the earth, having the seal, or that is the name of their father, in their foreheads,
Whereas Jesus said, I come and I manifest my Father's name. I come in my Father's name. He said, Father, I have kept them in thy name. And it's very evident that when the church goes out, then the Jews come in. And when the Jews come in, they recognize the name of Jesus, that salvation is in the name. And when they accept the Messiah, then they're sealed in their foreheads, or that is to say, within their minds, they accept the name of the Son of God. All right, so then we see that the law was added because of transgression, or the law came to reveal to me the impurities of my life, to reveal to me my transgressions, or to make known to me these things that I had done wrong. In doing this, it brought condemnation to my heart. It made me have a guilty complex. In this guilt, this feeling of guilt, it killed my confidence in God that He was my Savior, because I saw something that was at enmity with me. That is, I saw a middle wall of partition between me and God. And that middle wall of partition was this one thing, and that was the keeping of ordinances. That I had to go through a lot of things to please God. In the Old Testament, they had to kill a lamb. They had to go through so many things that I couldn't even remember them, let alone perform them. So then all of these ordinances, the keeping of righteousness as to what God had made to be a symbolic thing, as the type and the shadow. See, these kind of things was there before me. And I couldn't perform them because I'm weak as to do the things of God, as to my own fleshly ability. So then Paul, he saw this thing and he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The law has revealed to me that I am a wretched man. He said, for within my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will on the inside is present, but how to perform that in the outside man as to the flesh, I can't find it, he said. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, this is a bodily death. I find my soul and my spirit, my inner man, as the Bible refers to it, I find it enclosed within a human frame or a human body. And he said, and I can't escape it. It's like bars of bone, being enclosed within a human body, and I can't get out of it. See, I can't escape this body. There's no way I can get out of it. So the only answer was that the body is dead because of sin. That is to say, Jesus had to kill the body. Or that is, God had to make a human body for a sacrifice, a lamb without spot, wrinkle and blemish, and yet He had to let Him take on my human infirmities as the sins of my life, and then smite that innocent lamb to do away with my sins. And today I'm free from sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we sing the song, My Sins Are Gone. They're underneath the cross. Oh, the blood of Calvary is far removed as darkness is from dawn. And they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. The Messiah came to make an end of sin. So the law came and I found myself guilty. When I found myself guilty, there was nothing I could do but repent. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, or that is to say, I was weak as to perform it, then God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh there at Calvary, and done away with sin in the flesh once and for all by smiting the image of sin, doing away with sin forever. So Messiah made an end of sin. And as Daniel said, the angel said to Daniel, and Messiah shall be cut off, not for himself, but for the people. So then He did not die for his sins. He died for the sins of the people. That's a world of difference as to the priesthood in the days of Moses. For the Bible said, these men having infirmities of their own, they had to, before they could offer sacrifice for me, offer up a sacrifice for themselves. And then after that, offer a sacrifice for me, as we would say, of those people that was in that day. But not Jesus. Jesus did not have to offer up a sacrifice for himself, for he had no sin to begin with. But he did offer up a sacrifice for me, once and for all. And the Bible said, as to the Levitical priesthood coming as unto that, it could make nothing perfect. But then comes the Son, who is a son or a high priest after the oath, in that God sware unto him that his kingdom would be without end. This Son coming in as to the promise, or as to the priesthood of the oath, not as the Levitical priesthood, Well, there's nothing in the Levite generation that is said of Christ as to him coming to be a priest. And we find that he's out of the tribe of Judah, of which there's nothing said of the priesthood. So then it doesn't come out of the Levitical priesthood at all. This is altogether a different thing as to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And it was said, and from beneath the feet, there shall come forth one that will have the scepter. And this will be the ruler of the kingdom, and the kingdom shall be given to him. And thy kingdom, O God, shall be from everlasting to everlasting. And the other, as to the law and the Levitical priesthood, ye shall fold them up as a garment and lay them away. But of thy kingdom and the increase of thy kingdom, there shall be no end. So then we find that this beautiful thing took place. God caused it to take place. He sent the law because we had transgressed against him. So the law had to of necessity come that it might reveal my impurities, that I might repent, and in this repentance accept God's judgment upon my body at Calvary to end it once and for all. So then the rending of the veil, the separation of my spirit from my body, and that my body was planted in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, that I might, as to the spiritual inner being, enter into glory and dwell in the heavens. So then from Calvary all the way over, it is a heavenly episode. You are free from your sins when you reach Calvary. When you're born into your generation and you come to a Calvary as to repentance, then you are free from your sins. For your body is now dead, and the body of that death is now laid away. It's now buried in the lovely name of Jesus, and your spirit is gone back to God who gave it. That's why the Bible said, "Rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven, for you're made to sit together in these heavenly places, and ye should rejoice forevermore." In that my sins are gone, my sins are underneath the blood of Calvary. They're gone, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. They're gone. This is why the Bible uses the terms that he that is born of God cannot sin. If you're born of God, you cannot sin. I say this over and over to you to remind you that he that is born of God cannot sin. Someone would say, "I sin every day." I say, "Then you are of the devil every day." For the Bible said, "He that sinneth is of the devil." Whether he sinned one time or a million times, he is of the devil. Sin is of the devil, and he that sinneth is of the devil. If you sin one time, you're of the devil. But he that is born of God, he never sins at any time. The Bible said, "He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not." As to the inner man that is born of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, I say again, as the safeguard that goes into the garment that the stain can't penetrate, so has the Spirit of God sealed, the Holy Spirit, entered into your spirit. It's become interwoven as one, and it is sealed in such a way that the stains of evil are sealed out, and the devil never touches you at any time. You keep yourself, and the evil one toucheth you not, therefore you cannot sin. So as to your body that stumbles and staggers and makes such continual errors, the body has nothing to do with it, for the body profiteth nothing. The body is dead because of sin. Because the body sinned, it had to die. So then the body is dead because of sin. That means it is buried in a watery grave, and that body is cut off. The body that Satan could work through, as to your human instrumentality or as to your human senses, that body is cut off. It's dead. Jesus killed it at Calvary. So that middle wall or partition as to the body between God the Spirit and your spirit has been smitten. It's been folded up and laid away. And all of the keeping of the commandments as to ordinances that stood between me and God is no more. Those ordinances are nailed to Calvary. They're taken out of the way. And today there's a change of law. As from law, as to those ritualistics, as unto grace. And there is of necessity a change of the priesthood. As from the Levitical priesthood, as to the ministry of today, whereas we as the ministers come to perfect your faith. For we desire this, even the perfecting of your faith. And the Bible said that God has set the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of your faith, for that is to preach this word of faith to you, in that faith cometh by the hearing of the word, that when you hear this word and believe in this word, then this word seals your spirit, because His Word is spirit and life. And so then it seals your spirit, or that is to say, as I preach, or the ministry tutors you, it is revealing to your understanding the great, wonderful abundance of all things that pertain unto life. For the Bible said, God has given us all things that pertain unto life, this gospel being profitable for this life, and then the life as to the world to come. And so then we find ourselves being tutored in detail as to what our Heavenly Father has left us at the decease, that is to say at Calvary. Jesus, dying at Calvary, has left me an inheritance. And I receive that inheritance. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I must inherit it as the spiritual man on the inside to the spiritual gift that comes from a spiritual God. That's why Paul said, I would that ye be spiritual. For the body is folded up and laid away, and the body is no more, because the body profiteth nothing. So then I cannot sin against God, because the body is what sins. And sin is of the flesh. And the Bible speaks of the sinful flesh. But ye are not in the flesh. If you're not in the flesh, then that means that you cannot walk in the flesh. And the Bible said, if you don't walk in the flesh, then you don't transgress the law, because the law was as unto the flesh. So then the body being dead, as to the law and as to the world, I am no more of the world. I cannot transgress the law. Transgression of the law is sin. Where there is no law, Paul said, there is no transgression. And if the law is folded up and taken out of the way by the cross of Jesus, then there is no transgression of the law. If there is no transgression of the law, then there is no sin. My sins are gone. He made an end of sin. So then there's no transgression of sin. And if transgression of the law is sin, and if sin is the transgression of the law, then if death hath the sting that is called sin, then if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no sting. If there's no sting, there is no death. So then we see why that the Bible says that we have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. We're not in the flesh. He that walketh in the Spirit, he doth not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we cannot walk in the flesh because we're dead to the flesh, and the fleshly body is buried in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit went back to God who gave it. So then I am one of those that dwell in heaven. So we see that my sins are gone. Underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then he that sinneth is of the devil. He that is born of God, he cannot sin, because he cannot transgress the law, in that he's dead to the law. He cannot dabble around in the world, because his body is dead to the world, and the world is dead to him. He has come out from among them. He is a separate person. He once lived in sin, and the Bible said they that live in sin and trespasses are dead while they live. Or they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. But we're not living in the pleasures of the world. We're living in Christ. We walk in Christ. We abide in Christ. We dwell in Christ. Our conversation is in heaven. All of our endeavors is as unto the Lord, so we're free from the law of sin and death. Let me make a distinction here again. Remember, death is the lake of fire. There is no such thing as a death other than the lake of fire. I know that Jesus refers to this first thing as our sleep. We die out in Adam, we go to sleep. See, if we have Christ as spirit, we die to the Adamic nature, but we are alive in God. So we are not dead, we only go to sleep. And make the change. Even as God put Adam to sleep, and out of Adam he brought forth the rib, so hath he made Jesus to sleep for us, and out of him has come forth the church. So then we are not dead. We are not dead to the extent that we are only asleep. When we close our eyes and they put us into the dirt, or they lay us away in a coffin. See, we are not dead, we're only asleep. He tried to explain to them about Lazarus. They said, Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, Lazarus is not dead. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. Oh, that is to say, Lazarus' spirit is not going into the lake of fire. or Lazarus' spirit or angelic being has not departed from God to go into the lake of fire, which is referred to as the second death, and of course the only death, in that Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. See, I go to awake him. And Paul said as to concerning the great mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed. When a man dies out of this life and he never has been born again, his spirit goes to hell. And the Bible said, and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he looked afar off, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the conversation was that they that are there cannot come down here, and they that are here cannot go up there. For there is a great gulf, even the bottomless pit. It is in between these two things. I wish we had time to explain it, but we don't. And he said, Lazarus is now comforted, and thou art tormented, for the Bible said, and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. You may say there is no hell, but the Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell. There's a lot of people that try to explain this way as a parabolic thing, which I know Jesus was speaking in parables, but the Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. In that God is a spirit, everything he does is in parabolic form or typical form. But the thing is, the Bible says that the rich man, he said to Abraham, I am tormented in these flames. It's not just the grave. He said, I am tormented in these flames. And the Bible said, where the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. Referring to the worm as the body, saying, Jacob, thy worm, I shall help thee. In our first stages of life, as to Adam, in Adam all die. It is the cocoon, and we must go through the metamorphosis as the type to come out as the heavenly creature, to leave the worm stages of life and to be that spiritual being that can ascend into the heavens to understand the mysteries of God. All right, so then we see the law being folded up and laid away. We see a heavenly episode coming in that continues all the way from Calvary as to the rent veil of the 483 years, severing from that the 7 years and the in between as the rending of the veil. So we see that the earthly perspective does not come in until the days of the Gentiles is over, which brings us to Revelation 8, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, and then when the vials are poured out into the earth, and that angel standing there throws the vial into the earth, and there's lightnings and thunderings and all of these things that indicate the coming of the Star War and all these other things that's to break forth on humanity. When we speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're speaking of the rent veil. We're speaking of him having made in himself twain, too, both Lord and Christ. And he said to them that followed him, he said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said that they understood not that he spake of his body. For see, his body was the temple of God. And they understood not, being carnally minded, they understood not that he was speaking of the body. So the Bible said, and he made a way for us, that is to say, within his own flesh. The rending of his own flesh, the suffering of his own body. They rent him. They rent him. They put the thorns on his head. They plowed his back like a field. They run the spear into his side. The nails in his hands and feet. See, they rent him. He was rent. And the veil of the temple was rent from top down to bottom. It was rent. So then he made in himself twain, and the Bible said the veil was rent in twain, or the spirit tore itself away from the body, and the body was smitten of God, folded up and laid away to do away with sin as to the body of this death, and the spirit, the angelic, innocent Christ, went back to God who gave it. So we could say a lot on that tonight. It would take quite a long time to get into the mysteries, because the Bible said great is the mystery of God. But I'm just saying this, at the rending of the veil, the ark of his testament was seen. Or that is to say, this great light that I'm always speaking of. And Jerusalem coming down, New Jerusalem, with her light most precious. The Lamb being the light of that city within your heart as the liveless stones. It is the Lamb within you, the day star within you, this great radiating light. Until the day star, that is to say, life, dawns within you.
So then we see that this great radiating light that illuminates or glorifies us is coming forth within us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For He is the bright and the morning star. He's the day star of God. That is the word of spirit and life begins to dawn within you. Or that is that new day that comes as from evening until morning. So we are sown in the darkness as an atom. All die in the infiltration of the mind of Lucifer as to darkness. And God said, Paul, turn my people from that darkness, that is to the mind of Christ, or to the light, or to the day. So then as the light came and Paul found himself blind, he had to change over to the world of light. Though he thought he was great, yet he found out he was walking in darkness. And that's the way it is. The Bible said, when that light comes, when this understanding comes, when this great knowledge comes that's called light, the Bible said we comprehend, our understanding is enlightened. But he said the children of this world, which are intellectually in bondage to the beggarly elements of the things of this world, it says when the light comes that they cannot see it. They are creatures of the night. They go to sleep. They cannot see that light. But when it is worldly lust and worldly attire and enticing things as to alluring them to the worldly frolics of this world, they're wide awake and they're jubilant and their body enjoys that. Whereas you and I, we don't like that. That is vexation and vanity to us. But when the things of God come and the light comes as to God, we see. But the children of this world, they cannot see when light comes because Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see when good comes. So then we find that the light of God has so shined in darkness. That is to say, from the evening until the morning, or that is to say, my spiritual being from Adam falling into darkness as through the weakness of the flesh or that of the woman, and Calvary brings the morning. And in the morning he said, I will despise thine image, in that it is the bastard child image that in Adam all die, or this comes from the beast as to the expulsion from the garden. I say again, and John laid the axe to the root of the tree, cut down that family tree all the way back to Adam, and called it a generation of vipers, in that every one of them had the mind of Lucifer, being born in Adam, as unto death. Because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, and the death there is to be carnally minded is death. But when we cross the Jordan of Calvary and death is conquered, then our mind of carnality and death is gone, our disobedience is gone, our transgression is gone, and now we stand as a just man. And the Bible said we have come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Oh, we've come unto this great mount of God wherein by justification of faith we are just. And that in this, because we are just, it gives God a chance to sanctify us by His faith, which is in Christ Jesus as to the works of the Lord. And through this sanctification, the Bible said that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Because if you're sanctified, then you can be made perfect. So we've come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men as the justification by faith is thus made perfect. So we can see by this that we've escaped the pollutions of the world and we've escaped death. And today we are the children of the resurrection. We are they that were dead as to sin and trespasses. But now we are alive forevermore. And we see that sin hath no power over us. Why? Because of the rending of the veil of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or that is to say, this great light is to the understanding being told us or tutored. We being tutored in it have come to understand by faith, having heard, having believed by faith, our sins are gone. Why is my sins gone? Because somebody told me about this great thing. And when I heard it, I said, my God, that is the will of my Father. It's being read to me. And I have the understanding of it, and it says my sins are gone. So I believe it. So by faith, that's all there was to it. Because what faith is believing what He said. And so then when it is, Bible said, not the minister speaking, but they shall all be taught of God. When the Lord has said it, then we believe it, and that settles it. Because if we truthfully believe it, that purifies our heart by faith, and then His Spirit comes into us, comes into my spirit, and I can never die anymore. My body may go to sleep, but I can never die anymore, because death is when your spirit is separated from God. When your spirit is separated from God, you go into the lake of fire, which is called the second death or the only death. And we have passed from that second death, or we passed from that only death unto life, which means the death of the spirit. our spirit can never die. Our body, separation of my spirit from my body is sleep. My body will go to sleep. My spirit, which is life, goes back to God who gave it, because my body was never life anyway. The only life of my body was the spirit. But if your spirit separates from God's spirit, then that is death. That is death. But Satan cannot get into my spirit. He cannot take my spirit and separate my spirit from God, because my spirit is born of God. And I am filled with light, and I'm filled with the seal as to that interwoven safeguard of God. And Satan can never touch me. So I can never die. I may go to sleep in the body, but I can never die as to the spirit separating from God, which is death. So I pass from death unto life. Shall never come into condemnation, because there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I say again, there's no way that you can walk after the flesh, because you're not in the flesh. The body of that death, that's too. The flesh is gone forever. So you cannot walk in the flesh. You cannot be in the flesh. You cannot sin, because sin is of the flesh. So then we are free from that body of death. We are in the Spirit, and we walk after the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the desires of this human body. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, I would like to say more on it, but you've been good listeners, and we're going to try to stop right here. Remember, there's been a rending of the veil, and only the children of light will be able to comprehend that as to the enlightening of their understanding. Only the children of light. It would not be fair of God to let the children of darkness see that as to the remorse and sorrow that they would have while they're in this present world, knowing that He's going to eternally doom them and put them in an everlasting suffering pit. It wouldn't be right to let them know it here. So then they continue on in their intellectual darkness, which means their ambitions for offices, and their ambitions for careers, and their ambitions to do, to have, to hold, to buy, to sell, to gain. These kind of things, the mind of bondage, as to the bondschild, the beggarly elements of the world, the love of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So then the love of the world. See, it has them, and God won't give them any light as concerning this great phenomenal thing. He will not let them see the light. So then they are imprisoned by the darkness, and if this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. They who are the children of bondage, that are bound in the chains of darkness of the intellectual reasoning, that of that which comes from the fall, that is to say, the expulsion or the tree in the garden. So having escaped the carnal mind, you've escaped death. Because that's where Satan was, that's where unbelief was, that's where doubt was. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou hast disbelieved what I told you, Eve. The just living by faith, now sin is in the world because of the lust of her eyes that lusted, and sin came in the world, and by sin came death. So we're free from lust, we're free from sin, we're free from all of those things, and today we are found to be children of God. How? By faith. By this light that came to our understanding that the children of this world cannot see. Cannot see. Cannot see. So then we see it, thus are we the children of light, which means that when we see with understanding, we can believe. And when we believe, we're automatically eternal. For Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. That is to say, if you can believe, if thou canst believe, He said, because faith is not given to everyone. Believing is given to everyone. But faith is not given to everyone. So if thou canst believe, that is to say, if you can see, if you can hear, then of course you can believe. And with the heart man believeth unto the finished works of God as to the righteousness unto salvation, or that is to say, eternal life. Let's stand together. And trust that something has been said tonight that might be beneficial to you, to make you realize that we are the children of the resurrection. We are the children of the resurrection. I feel resurrected, don't you? I feel alive, not just for today or tomorrow, but I feel alive forevermore. I feel alive forevermore, eternally alive, to never die, to never die. He that heareth my words, and I can hear them, having ears to hear, let him that hath ears to hear, even the church. Let him hear, because faith cometh by hearing and life through faith. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Having ears, he said to them that are not elect, you hear not as to the voice of the Spirit. And having eyes, he said, as unto them that are not elect, ye see not as I see always the things that my Father does. So then, beloved friend, do not be critical and don't be bewildered when you tell somebody this wonderful thing about God, because not everybody is going to believe it, because everybody is not going to hear it nor see it. And they know not what you say. They may act as though they do, and they may act jubilant over what you said. But the proof of them being elect is that they heard and they will do the things the Heavenly Father has commanded. Jesus said to do always the things that my Father has commanded me to do. And Enoch, before his translation of faith, had this testimony that he did the things that pleased God. So then this is the proof, and the Bible said by this you can differentiate and you can tell the difference between the children of this world and the children of God. For the child is known by his doing. And they that are born of God do good. And they that are not of God cannot do good. No matter what they try to do, they have the love of this world. And no matter what they promise you, no matter how religious they are, they always go back as to the sow. After having been washed, that is by grace, the blood of the seed of atonement, after having been washed, they go back to the worldly things, or that is to say, the wallowing in the mire. The old sow, after having been washed, goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog will go back to his vomit. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love him. The altars are open. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Can you say it again?
Find my way alone.
One more. Jesus. Brother Taylor sings the song, He Knows the Way Through the Wilderness, and all we have to do is follow. Let's sing this little chorus. We haven't sung this in a long time.
Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Get over the carnal mind. To be carnally minded is dead.
On the other side
of Jordan, my people must be led.
No longer in the wilderness. From Egypt bondage flee.
And when you reach the other side, you shall be.
One more time.
Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee, and when you reach the other side, you shall be free.
Give me another key, Sister Dave.
Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Can you sing it? I'm shouting the victory, the victory that overcometh the world. I'm shouting the victory. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
Sing it with me now.
Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven.
Is this like heaven to you? Let's sing this little chorus again, standing somewhere in the shadows, Sister Bob.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And He's the only one who cares and understands. In the shadows you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. So come home, come home, it's supper time. A shadow. Fast. Come home, come home at supper time. Was but a boy in days of childhood. I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time.
Lift our hands up and close our eyes. And let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I am Godless wife, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. And I'm ready for the bridegroom.
Sing that with me again.
Better be ready for the bridegroom. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Be it morning, noon, or night, we are dressed in spotless white.
And we're ready for the bridegroom.
Sing it with me. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. For be it morning, noon, or night, I am dressed in spotless white. And I'm ready for the bridegroom.
One more time now.
Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. I'm ready for the bridegroom
to come.
Or be it morning, noon, or night, I am dressed in spotless white.
And I'm ready for the bridegroom to come.
And time shall be no more, no more.
And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, no more.
fullness of time.
You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten,
and your day will brighten if you come a little
closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load will lighten,
and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin.
My head hanging low,
there was trouble
in my soul. Praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came calling one day.
Good blood,
said a few words. Now I can say a blessing
in my way.
I came a little closer to the Lord.
So come a little closer. Just a little closer, oh, come
closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load will lighten,
and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
Can you sing that with me?
Come a little closer,
just a little closer,
a little bit closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down the road of sin, with my head hanging low,
there was trouble in my soul,
praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came calling one day, the good book read a few words. Come a little close, just a little close, little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
Come a little closer. Can you close your eyes?
you feel a little closer to the Lord? Can you feel a little closer?